just a minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the programme four talented and humorous performers who are going to spray their talent with words and language as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And those four are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Fee Glover, and seated on my left, Giles Brandreth and Tony Hawkes. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me, it's Trudy Stevens. She's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed.
And we begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul, oh,
growing bananas. Would you like to tell us something about growing bananas in just a minute, starting now?
To grow bananas, it usually takes about 9 months to get it from baby bananas. I'd always run out of things to say. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not surprised. Tony, you challenge.
Yeah, I think he'd exhausted his entire knowledge on the subject and then break down and hesitate.
Well, see what you can tell us about it, because you've got 56 seconds still available. Growing bananas starting now.
I have never grown a banana in my life, but it has been an ambition of mine to do it, but living in a small flat makes it difficult in London. But I've now moved to Devon, where it's a perfect place to grow bananas.
Giles challenge.
It was like a tribute band to Paul Merton.
You know, I did that. I thought it's growing bananas, the subject, isn't it?
I think you could have had him for deviation.
Well,
this country's not a perfect place for growing bananas.
Oh, you haven't been to the little place where he is, the little oasis of sunshine.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. Giles, you had a great challenge. You get a point for that. And there are 39 seconds, Giles. Growing bananas starting now.
Even the Dalai Lama has criticised me for name-dropping, but I have to share with you the fact that some years ago, the great Harry Belafonte took me to his banana farm, singing, "Yellow bird, way up banana tree." The great Henry so sweetly showed me how you can make a curved yellow fruit turn into something that is scrumptious, delicious, and gives nourishment to the whole and entire family. Even coughing can be cured by a well-placed banana. You open the mouth, you shove it in, and then you cut off the end and you discover whether it says yes or no.
Tony, I'm glad you said.
Yeah, deviation, we're not learning anything at all.
I've got to explain to my listeners, I've got a terrible cold. But thank you for explaining, Giles, as you went along, what was happening to me. What was your...
My challenge was it was deviation from the subject, which is growing bananas.
I'm explaining to you how Harry Belafonte took me to his banana farm.
Giles, just let me finish the challenge, then you'll get... I know you're a politician, but let me... Let me finish, and then you'll have your turn, OK?
I'm glad you talked the length you did, because it gave me time to get my breath back. Oh, Tony, you've got in with 2 seconds to go.
Do we know why he's got in, Nicholas?
No.
No, exactly.
Because I was having a little coughing fit while he was talking. Yeah. Tony, another point. 2 seconds. Growing bananas. Starting now.
Put the soil and then what you do on...
So, in this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Tony Hawkes. And at the end of that round, he has 3 points. Giles has got one, and the other two have yet to score. Tony, we'd like you to take the next round. And it is the best part of my school days. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
The best part of my school days? Well, this is difficult to identify. The problem with school is that they don't really teach you anything that's going to be useful to you later in life. For instance, when I was there, I had to do pottery. And since leaving, I haven't had one occasion when I've had to make a pot. Even in an emergency. So they should instruct you on things that are more practical, like how to put jube.
Paul challenge.
I didn't.
Well, your light came on.
Oh, OK. Well,
it was I who challenged.
You challenged, but Paul's light came on. Do you want the challenge or not?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Nicholas. Is this another of these shows, Nicholas, where my light has actually been turned off for the duration?
Paul, what was your
deviation?
Child?
Well, he said they don't teach you anything useful at school. They do. They teach you to read. They teach you to write. They teach you mathematics.
And pottery is very useful indeed.
It can be, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so I sense everyone's against me.
We are.
No, they just disagree with you, not against you.
Oh, OK.
Oh, no, no, we are actually against him.
I'm not.
You're the only one he'd like to have against him.
Oh. We don't have a lot of sex in just a minute.
It's not another figure from our light entertainment history to be interviewed by the police, surely.
Do you think we've all deviated a little bit?
This is not the time or the place.
I'd rather like you to have a coughing fit right now.
Paul, a correct challenge, I think. And you have 36 seconds. The best part of my school days, starting now.
The best part of my school days at Wimbledon College, the grammar school I went to that then became a comprehensive, was playing football at the end of the day. We'd gather around in the playground, the few working-class boys that would go into this educational establishment, and we'd kick a tennis ball around and run a...
Giles challenge.
A repetition of ball.
Yes.
Ball's one word, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, incorrect challenge. Mm. Another point to you, Paul, and you have 21 seconds. The best part of my school days starting now.
As the teacher took me through the various vocabulary bits of Latin that he remembered from his past, I too regurgitated them back to him. Puella, I mean, remember means... Oh, I don't.
Giles
challenge. Can't remember it.
Yes, I
absolutely.
We interpret that as hesitation.
Absolutely.
So you've got the subject anyway, Giles, and it is the best part of my school days. And there are still 10 seconds available, starting now.
I went to a school called Beedales in Hampshire, which was founded by a man named John Hayden Badley, who was born in 1867.
Paul Challenge.
Well, this is the history of the school, which is very nice. But it's not the subject, the best part of my school
Indeed,
days.
Meeting him was the remarkable bit that I was just coming to.
You're doing it again. Let Paul finish.
Are you trying to use Zerp for Nicholas's role?
No. He's coughing a bit, so I'm stepping in more than you.
I think your challenge was legitimate.
Yes.
What? I don't know. Legitimate challenge. The best part of my school days was this wonderful founder.
But you didn't get to that bit.
You didn't get to that bit.
No, because you stopped me.
Giles,
no.
Yeah, you were bluffing it, Giles. Be honest. You thought I can rabbit on about this bloke for 10 seconds and get away with it. And you didn't.
Right.
And that lifts my spirits.
Well, maybe, Nicholas, that later on, maybe the benefit of the doubt could come my way.
It could be, yes, indeed.
Oh, good.
Tony has contributed so much in the way of humour in this last round. I'm going to give him a bonus point.
Ooh.
But, thank you. But it was a correct challenge from Paul. And there are 3 seconds still, Paul, on the best part of my school days, starting now.
I loved algebra. X plus Y equals 2 over...
So, Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point. He's now equal in the lead with Tony Hawkes at the end of that round. Giles is following, and then Fee Glover. And Fee, we'd like you to begin the next round. And the subject we have now is listening to Radio 4. Oh, one of the joys of life. I think that was a sort of investment for my future there, but... That's the subject, Fee, and you have 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Listening to Radio 4, obviously, it's something that all of us really enjoy doing. Me, myself, I'm a radio nut. I like to have lots of sets of the things around the house. I've got an enormous one in my study. It's international. Rick has got a tiny domestic one in the bedroom. And we like to wander around 24 hours a day listening to Radio 4. And the thing that really...
Giles, your challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, a hesitation. Well done. Well, you went for 39 seconds left. You went for 20 seconds. Yeah. 21 seconds, actually.
Thank you.
And Giles, a correct challenge. Another point to you. 39 seconds, Giles, listening to Radio 4, starting now.
Listening to Radio 4, it seems to have everything, but it does not have the equivalent of the potter's wheel.
Paul, challenge.
Doesn't have pictures.
That's what I was saying. It seems to have everything, but it does not.
Giles.
This is outrageous. And, of course, if you look at it through your computer, it does have pictures.
Giles, even if it wasn't a correct challenge, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And say an incorrect challenge, you have a point, you have 34 seconds still, listening to Radio 4, starting now.
I would love to have a programme featuring the coughing of great men and women of our time. Wouldn't it be glorious to have heard Winston Churchill wheezing at us, taking a puff on his cigar, removing it, and then we would sense the spittle coming over the microphone? Ken Dodd would be able to entertain us right through the night with glottal stop after...
Tony Challenge.
This has got nothing to do with listening to Radio 4.
Yes, it's what I want to hear on radio.
Can I finish?
Yes.
Giles, you're talking about a prospective programme that has never been made. How can we be listening to that on Radio 4?
Because we're anticipating what we're going to be listening to on Radio 4.
Somewhere there's a commissioning editor thinking, bloody good idea.
It is. And we'll start with Nicholas, is what they're thinking. He could be the host.
And now Alfred Lloyd Tennyson with a head cold.
I think they all contributed something in that particular little pause there. So I'm going to give them all a point. And leave it with Giles and say, listening to Radio 4, 13 seconds, starting now.
When I first started listening to Radio 4, it was under the covers when I was a small boy on the wireless, as it was called.
Oh, Paul Challenge.
Well, it wouldn't have been Radio 4 when Giles was... You go on, off you go.
I was about to speak of the night that we moved from the Home Service to Radio 4 and the announcement was made by Alvar Liddell. I was there at the beginning, listening to Radio 4 right from the start. Nicholas, of course, was there at the beginning of the Home Service.
What was he?
But he was. He truly was. He was actually at Lord Reith's christening.
No, it is true. Nicholas does feature in several cave paintings.
Honestly... I must be a very good sport, because I laugh as well. Well tried, Giles, justifying it. But I agree with Paul's challenge. I mean, if you were under the bedclothes at that age, it wouldn't be Radio 4, it would be the Home Service.
Yes.
So, Paul, correct challenge. 7 seconds, still there. Listening to Radio 4, starting now.
When the Director-General recently said that the British Broadcasting Corporation costs 40p a day, I thought that's wonderful. Some people would pay that for Radio 4 alone.
So Paul Merton was speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's moved forward. He's one ahead of Giles Brandreth, and he's two ahead of Tony Hawkes, and he's a few more ahead of Fee Glover. And Giles, we're back with you to begin.
Would Tony like to begin instead?
Yes.
I'll take him up.
All right, you've given it to Tony.
Yeah, thank you.
And it is... Tony, wearing a wig.
Right.
It's a tough subject anyway.
Yeah. You I'll don't need one. I'll probably go for a minute now, just you, to piss Giles
60
off.
Seconds as usual. Starting now.
Well, the thing about wearing a wig, it's a sign that you haven't got enough confidence in your external appearance, and it's what's going on.
Giles Challenge.
This is not very interesting, is it?
No. But what is your challenge within the rules of just
I
a
think
minute?
It's homage to you.
52 seconds are still available for you, Tony, wearing a wig starting now.
What is going on within is what really matters. One needn't worry about whether there is hair on top of your head. It is so un...
Jars.
Hesitation that time.
Yes, absolutely. 40 seconds. Wearing a wig. We're back with you for the subject which you should have started with, but you very foolishly gave it away. And 40 seconds available, wearing a wig, starting now.
Listening to this on Radio 4, people may not realise that I'm almost totally bald from top to toe. In the 1960s, this was a problem for me because hirsute chests were the order of the day. And therefore, I got a PEX wig with matching underarm toupees so that when I went on holiday to Broadstairs and lay on the sand, I would look like Mr. Muscle himself. This was considered very attractive by my then girlfriend who became my wife, and when she saw me turning into one of the Prince Edward or Prince William.
Unfortunately, two princes.
Yes. Two princes, yes. And 7 seconds available for you, Paul, on wearing a wig starting now.
As Judge Christmas Humphreys looked down at me and I realised my plea of guilty would take me no further than Wormwood Scrubs.
So Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, he's moved forward. Tony Hawkes and Giles Brandreth are equal in second place, and then Fee Glover following them. And Paul, we're back with you to begin. And the subject now, interesting one, why geese fly in a V formation? I'd love to know why.
Can you tell us, Paul?
Yeah.
In 60 seconds, starting now.
Geese fly in a V formation to tell other birds to flock off. It's a kind of very aggressive action in the air. They fly in a V because the goose in the front is the only one that knows the way. If they were to fly directly behind each other...
Tony Challenge.
There can't be a goose in the front if it's a V formation. It'd need to be two geese at the front.
No. There's one geese in the V formation.
One.
No, hang on. The V's the wrong way round. They don't fly...
They fly. There's
one. Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's like working with David Attenborough.
Yeah. I can see why you didn't learn very much at school. Yes, right. So, Paul, an incorrect challenge, another point, and 44 seconds are still available. Why geese fly in a V formation starting now?
It cuts down on the wind resistance. The head geese goes forward, and he looks and thinks, ah, the wind is coming.
Tony Challenge.
Head goose.
I know it should be head goose. He said goose once. He didn't want to repeat it.
I don't care what problems he's got in there.
I said geese because I didn't want to say goose.
I know you did. Yeah. I said that. Just said that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Yeah, but
so there's too many repeats on the BBC.
But actually, Paul, to be fair, that was deviation.
It was deviation.
You can't have the head geese.
No.
It was a head goose.
Exactly.
So, Tony, you got in. 37 seconds, Tony, with you, why geese fly in a V formation, starting now.
You'll be surprised to hear I'm something of an expert on this subject, and the reason...
I'd be astonished. I withdraw my challenge.
No, you need to give it a fee instead.
Give it a fee.
Oh, OK.
Right.
Yes, happy to take it.
Yeah.
Fee, 32 seconds on why geese fly in a V formation, starting now.
Well, I presume they do it simply because they can, and very much like the red arrows, they'd like to show off to other bird forms that they can do something that no other flappy, winged, feathered... The only thing that separates them from the amazing aeronautical display team who you crane your necks to see and nearly fall over every single time.
It's not good radio. Come back. So somehow Fee Glover kept going till the whistle went. With a little help from the chairman. And you move forward. You're still in fourth place, but you move forward.
Thank you.
And Tony... It's your turn to begin, and the subject is 3D printing. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Ordinary printing is hard enough to do, let alone 3D printing, and the reason for this, you may not know it, is that printers have personalities and emotions, and they do not like it if you go slightly out of the room and leave them to do all that printing, because they cough stuff out and they hit printer error button on their thing and...
Paul,
I'm worried about this phrase, going slightly out of the room.
You're quite right. You can't go slightly out of the room. You can't go slightly. You either go out of the room or stay within the room.
I think so.
Yeah, well, that's what I think as well.
So well, that's what matters.
Hmm? Well, if I can give you the benefit of the doubt later, I will.
No props.
Paul, another point. 38 seconds. 3D printing starting now.
Last year, I went slightly on holiday to California. Who bust? This is from the heart, this stuff.
Unless you left a leg behind, I'm having you on that.
You've changed your mind now.
Well, yeah. It's easier to go slightly out of the room than slightly on holiday.
I said I'd give you the benefit of the doubt. He had a bit before on the slightly out of the room. Yeah. 34 seconds, Tony. 3D printing starting now.
I did a 3D print of some geese flying in V formation. And the extraordinary thing is, why they do it is they try to do the S form, but...
Jars.
Hesitation.
Absolutely, yes. 24 seconds, Giles. Another point to you. You tell us something about 3D printing starting now.
Now, I genuinely know something about this subject because I met Chuck Hall in 1984, the man who invented 3D printing. And through him, I am one of the first people in the country to have a complete set of 3D printers in my house and have created the royal family out of paper so that I can sit at breakfast with Her Majesty the Queen, His Royal Highness the Duke of Edinburgh, and even...
Paul Jones.
There's a bit of stumble there after Duke of Edinburgh.
No, no, it was respect.
Was it? What, to slur his name?
No.
That's the way you talk when royalty are about. You talk a bit like that.
Do you?
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Charles, and say it was an incorrect challenge. And I'll tell you one of the reasons I'm doing it is there's only half a second to go. So half a second, Giles, on 3D printing, starting now.
3D printing is absolutely fabulous.
Well done. So Giles Brandon speaking as the whistle went then. Gained an extra point. He's now equal with Paul Merton in the lead. Tony Hawks is only 1 point behind, and a few points behind them is Fee Glover. And Fee, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject now is the Victoria Falls. Tell us something about those amazing falls in this game, starting now.
I flew over the Victoria Falls in a helicopter, and please don't buzz in and say it's absolutely impossible for me to take that form of transport, because I did. I wasn't actually the pilot, but we were filming a television programme. We had an incredible vista of the Victoria Falls, and in order to film it properly, and here, if anybody is a health and safety expert, you might want to just put your fingers in your ears, we actually withdrew the side of the vehicle that we were flying in order for me to peer out and do what's known in the television industry as a piece to camera. So I was there, strapped in. There's a gentleman in the front who seriously is worried for my future here. I am in a safety belt, and I am hanging out of one side of this incredible chopper-esque type contraption when we veer to... I was just veering. It takes a while to veer.
You made your living from radio, but you're so utterly visual when you talk. I mean, all the gestures you were making, describing the helicopter and leaning out, I mean, the audience were loving it, and you were giving us vivid pictures.
That's very kind of you to say,
which is really radio,
yes. I did survive the incident. Obviously, the cameraman didn't.
And who challenged Paul? Paul, you challenged why?
Hesitation.
Yeah, more than a hesitation,
enormous,
right.
Yes. Enormous, yes.
And Paul, you've got him with 3 seconds to go.
Oh, no.
But I think as Fee went for 57 seconds, she should get a bonus point.
That's very kind. That's very kind.
And Paul, it was a correct challenge. Shall we give it to you? And you have Victoria Falls starting now.
I visited Victoria Falls on my honeymoon. I was married to Bunty McGrew. What a woman she was.
Bunty McGrew. Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Yeah. No. Giles, we're back with you to begin. And before we start...
I'm not talking to you, Tony.
Tony, what's the secret?
I'll give you the situation as we move into the final round. Well, Fee, who's not played the game very much before and was wonderful in her helicopter, she's struggling a bit in fourth place, but a very strong fourth place. But only a few points ahead of her is Tony Hawks, and Tony is 1 point behind Giles Brandreth, and he is 2 points behind Paul Merton as we move into the final round, and it's Giles' turn to begin, and the subject is a dream I've never told anyone about.
I'm happy not to buzz on this one.
And if you want to put it into correct English, you can say a dream about which I've never told anyone.
Oh. Ooh-hoo.
It's up to you. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Dare I tell you now, Nicholas, I wonder. A lot of people dream about Her Majesty the Queen, but I have dreams about her daughter-in-law, Camilla, the Duchess of Cornwall. And they take the form...
Challenged.
Well, I'm just feeling a bit unwell.
How on earth do I judge on that? Well, that means,
wanted you to stop.
She's not only doing an exceptional job, she's a great fan of this show.
Mm. And I'm not being rude about her. I just don't want to hear what it is that Giles' mind
contains. Oh, I see. I'm sorry,
It's not Camilla that's making me feel unwell.
Oh, it's Giles.
Not at all.
Well, I can understand that, yes. So,
To protect her dignity, somebody had to buzz.
Her. Right.
Yes.
Absolutely, we must. 48 seconds for you.
Given that you are now a commander of the Order of the British Empire, I understand, Nicholas, the way that you have voted in this case, but I assure you there was nothing unwholesome in what I was about to share. I think the nation would have warmed a little bit to my story.
I'd like to hear from Fee on this subject.
We would all like to hear
a dream I've never told anyone about. 48 seconds, Fee, starting now.
So this is the God's honest truth. When I was pregnant, I had incredibly vivid dreams, and some of them I really can't mention here on Radio 4. But the one that I would like to tell you about, and I apologise in advance if any of you are of a gentle disposition, it involved John Redwood being my midwife.
Feeling is actually the last thing you want, isn't it?
The kettle is boiling, the waters are breaking, I really can't go. Well, I think Victoria Falls.
Is he a chum of yours?
Of course, he's a good personal friend.
Is he? Lovely. Did he deliver your children?
While singing the national anthem in Welsh, yes.
I think, in order to be fair to everybody concerned, Giles, I will give you now the benefit of the doubt, as I took it away from you before, and say you've got 30 seconds now to tell us a dream I've never told anyone about, starting now.
This has to be the same dream, because otherwise I would be deviating, and I do not intend to do that. So there I am with Cammy, as I like to call her, and we are recreating in my dream the film Brief Encounter, made in black and white in 1945. She is playing the role of Celia Johnson, and I am there as Trevor Howard. We meet upon the train, and then...
I don't feel very well.
It's the same as you.
Oh, the same as me.
It's
makes you queasy, just the very idea.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but it could be the dream he hasn't told anyone about.
Kissing Camilla under the station clock, I really did.
I've been dishing out benefits of the doubt. Fee's had one, you've had one. I'm going to give Paul one now, because I'd like to hear from him on the subject. Paul, 3 seconds still available. A dream I've never told anyone about, starting now.
Prince Charles, Michael Bentine, the underground station between...
Well, it's been a wonderful, hilarious show and a lot of coughing as well. But let me tell you the final score. Fee Glover, who hasn't played it very often before, came and finished in a magnificent 4th place. She was a few points behind Tony Hawks, who was 2 points behind Giles Brandreth, and he was 3 or 4 points behind Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you are our winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to these 4... fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Fee Glover, Giles Brandreth and Tony Hawks. I thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score. She's blown a whistle with great style. And we thank, we're indebted to our audience here in the radio theatre. We're deeply indebted to our producer, Talusha Gilani. And we're more than indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And so from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the audience and the team, thank you. And tune in again the same time next week when we play Just a Minute!